before the message are at times in some ministries songs. It might be invitation songs, but it's an opportunity to do that just before message comes, to surrender our hearts. I'm hoping that we don't come into the house of the Lord with our mind made up that no matter what the preacher says, it's not going to change me. I am who I am, and I am what I are. Not good English, but you understand what I said. But nonetheless, we need to come to the house of the Lord, first of all, to worship and magnify the Lord. Amen. And then secondly, Lord, if you didn't pray this prayer before you came here this morning, you missed out. Say, Lord, I want you to speak to my heart today. Yeah, I don't have any idea what's coming on down the pike next week, Lord. But I know last week was a rough week. And so, Lord, I want you to work on my heart today. I want you to change me. I want you to speak to areas that I've not been willing to. Come to the house, Lord, with an open heart, ready for God to do a work. Amen? Amen. That's why we come here. And so, Brother Steve's going to be doing a lot of filling in while I'm gone. And so, he's going to need a lot of your prayer between now and then. It's a lot to take upon himself between work and family and taking over a preacher's job. It used to take 3 or 4 men to do that. When I'd go and I'd have to have this person do this person do that. But now God sent us Steve, and Steve's doing it all right now. So he's worth 4 men to us right now at this point here. But you know, you're going to have to be really faithful to be an encouragement to Brother Steve during that particular time as well. So, well, we're in our series here, The Successful Christian Life. And obviously you can see by the hands there that we are looking into the subject of prayer. There's going to be about 10 to 14, I believe, probably different points that we'll be able to glean that will help us in our prayer life. So important, not just to read our Bibles, but to pray. And a simple prayer before you read the Bible is, Lord, I'm about to open your word. And Lord, I don't know what's going to be going on in my life today or next week, but Lord, prepare me as I read the word and let God speak to your heart as you're going through there. And it may be that something just jumps out at you and speaks to you at that particular moment. And you may not even know why until maybe Wednesday or Thursday. All of a sudden, that's why God had that stick out and stand out for me right then and there. So take some notes and meditate on some areas. What a blessing that would be for you. So we're looking at this morning here. Well, let me get going here. Spiritual warfare, and this is part of our spiritual warfare. Communication, amen. We know that in any particular battle that the troops on the front line have to have communication with the back lines, and the back lines with those who are back in the planning rooms and stations, if you will. And so there has to be a constant communication. And God wants us to make our heart known to Him. Amen. This is not one of those things there where we just sit down and God speaks to us. God wants to hear from us. But there are those times when I think we touched on it last week, there are times that we just need to sit back and shut up and let God speak to us. Amen? If you're one of those chatty catties and you spend your prayer life, you like, that's your prayer life. Blah, 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 blah. And then you get up and say, well, God didn't say anything to me. Well, you were talking too much. You couldn't get a word in edgewise, you know. So there are those times where you have to kind of sit back and let God speak to us. Amen? So the other thing we're looking at here is that 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So if you are a genuine Bible-believing Christian, he wants to destroy your life. He doesn't want you to be a witness. He doesn't want anybody else to see the work of God going on in your life. And so he's going to do what he can to destroy your life. And so we have to understand that we're in a spiritual warfare, and that spiritual warfare is against Satan. And of course, we're going to be looking at the benefits of prayer, because this is an important link. The Word of God and prayer, very, very important. So the Apostle Paul, led of the Holy Spirit, makes this point about prayer being an imperative of the Christian life. Now, the disciples of Christ, after hearing him pray, asked Christ to teach them to pray. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 11, they asked him, and this is what Jesus said. And he said, and it came to pass that as he was praying in certain places, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Now, the idea here back in Luke chapter 11 and chapter 11 and verse 1 is the idea that the word teach is that of instruction. They wanted to be instructed how to pray. You know, I believe that if you're in the Word of God frequently and often, and you're studying and meditating in the Word of God, prayer will become a natural expression and experience for you, the individual. But if you're not in the Word of God, I believe in James chapter 4 that we ask not because we have not, and we have not because we ask amiss. The Bible guides us in our prayer life and the things that that are really important in our lives, and we should know what they are. And so, again, the idea here in the word teach is that of instruction, and this verb is also in the imperative mood, which tells us the importance of learning how to pray appropriately. So this does mean that we have to pray. It doesn't mean that we have to pray in the King James language. Some people say, well, I can't get all the these and thou. God doesn't care whether you say the or you just skip the whatever it is. You don't have to pray in the King James. We read the King James Bible. We study and meditate in the King James Bible. But you know what? You just speak because God knows all the languages of the world. Amen? And that's why tongues is irrelevant today, because God, He knows exactly. You know what? He knows French. He knows German. He knows English. He knows everything. He can even understand a fast-lipped preacher. So there's no problem there. That there are important parts to be considered in one's prayer, and that's what Jesus was instructing them, important parts of the prayer. I know you get in a lot of places, and a lot of people will pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and so on. And that's so those are really, Christ gave them the constituent parts that need to be in a prayer. Those are topics that really belong in your prayer life. When you hallowed be, give God the glory, give God the praise, thank Him for all the blessings, and you can go down that whole list there. If you really want to know what the Lord's Prayer really is, then you go to the Gospel of John chapter 17, where He really prays, and He reminds us that He is praying for us as individuals, and that's a wonderful chapter to go through. For sure. But our key words from Psalm 116 are found in verses 12 and 13 that remind us that prayer is also in response to the many blessings the Lord our God has given to us. Have you been blessed by the Lord today? Were you blessed by the Lord yesterday and even during the week? I had a flat tire. Well, you're not going to be a blessing. Amen. I mean, who knows, if you got that flat tire and you had to pull over the side of the road, you could have gone down the road 10 miles and gotten in a terrible accident. But God gave you flat tires so you wouldn't get involved in the accident. We had that experience up in Fairfax, driving along there, and I said to Peggy, I said, we don't have any power. She said, what do you mean? Well, I said, the engine just cut out on me, and there was no indication of it whatsoever. So I coasted over the side of the road there, and we prayed about it and said, Lord, you knew about this before we left the house, and so here we are up here in Fairfax, and we don't know the service station, what's up there, one thing or another. So anyway, we prayed about there. We got a ride home from my son-in-law and daughter. They come out and picked us up, and Andy towed the car to the Essex area here, and come to find out the engine seized up. Now, I could have thrown a temper tantrum up on the side of the road there and embarrassed the fire out of my wife, but I didn't. And we just prayed about it. And when they went through the Essex Auto down there, he said, oh, by the way, there's a recall on the 2013 to 2015 engines. The National Transportation Highway Authorities, they put out a bulletin, and it said that, and come to find out, there was 575,000 Hyundai models 2013 to 2015 whose engines just seize up with no prior warning whatsoever. And he said, it looks like they might cover it. And so we had to tow it down to down to the Hyundai dealership there in Burlington, and she said, yep, we know all about them, and yep, you're covered. So I said, well, praise the Lord for that. Amen. Got 112,000 miles out of 112,000 miles out of that car, and they're going to put another engine in it. Maybe we'll get another 112 in it. I'm looking forward to it. Amen. So, we just have to get to that point in our life where we realize that sometimes God does know what He's doing, one way or another. And so the key words simply in there are to remind us that prayer is also in response to the many blessings the Lord God has given to us. And so the first portion of this psalm, the writer is sharing the joys that come with being a child of God, as we note in Psalm 116 and verse 12. Where he says, okay, let me get there. He says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His what? Benefits toward me. Now, we sing the song, Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One. I bet you we don't do that very often. And we ought to. Before the day is done, Lord, thank You. Thank You for, being in the right place at the right time to see the right individual there to get the engine taken care of. And you know what? God is wonderful. But He is also wonderful when things that don't look like they're going to go exactly that way either. The wonder of God never changes, regardless of our circumstances. Amen? So, When was the last time you took the time to simply just thank the Lord for His benefits toward you? A prayer in which you asked nothing. Many times, Lord, I need. Lord, I got to have. Lord, you need to take care of this. But you just come before the Lord and you don't ask Him anything. Nothing. And from a joyful heart, you just praised Him. Simply a time of praise and thanksgiving to Him. And so this morning we are going to be looking at a number of blessings and benefits that God provides in direct response to our prayers as well. Well, Father, we pray that You'll guide and direct as we look at the message this morning, that You'll guide and direct and meet all the needs of this hour. Lord, some of the greatest men in the Bible, some of the greatest women in the Bible were prayer warriors. And Lord, they accomplished what they accomplished. Lord, somehow, for some foolish reason, that we want the same kind of power. We want the same abilities that they had, but we don't want to put in the work. Because, Lord, an active prayer life is a work. Lord, it's a work of ministry, and it's a ministry in a work. And so, Father, You guide and You direct as we learn some things, and I trust that we're going to maybe be reminded of some things we may have let go of the importance of prayer in the individual's life. Lord, if we have responsibilities, then prayer is so important. Lord, be it moms and dads, we have got to learn to be prayer warriors on behalf of our parenting as well as our children. Lord, if we're business owners, we need to be a prayer warrior on behalf of the employees and those who are coming in to exchange business with us. Lord, and almost across the board, wherever it is that we may be, that, Lord, we have responsibilities, and, Lord, we need that strong, viable prayer life. So, Lord, help our minds to be open and to understanding and accept the challenge this morning. Whether it's to salvation or to rededication, Lord, won't You have Your perfect will and way. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So the first thing we're looking at this morning is that the blessing of joy. We're going to turn very quickly to John chapter 16. And in John 16, we're going to read verse 24. Jesus speaking says, "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in My name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be what? Full." This is not a carte blanche to get what we want simply because we ask. Lord, I need a Lamborghini. Well, what do you need a Lamborghini for? Lord, I need a castle somewhere, and I need a big moat around it, and I need a, you know, that's just, we know that's ridiculous, but there are also other things that may not be as grandiose in and of themselves that are things that we really don't need, but we think we need. Well, God is not in the business of giving us our wants. He is in the business of giving us our needs. And many times, He will be a blessing to us and maybe slip a little want under the prayer line here, if you will. But James addresses this immature or carnal Christian in James chapter 4. And I mentioned it just a little bit earlier there, and I'll turn over there to James chapter 4. Because I think some people, they get fatigued in their prayer life simply because they're asking and it doesn't seem like God is answering. Well, I'm telling you right now, if you pray and you ask a petition of God and He doesn't answer, it isn't because He hasn't answered your prayer. He said no. Ooh, doggy, we don't like that, do we? Or maybe it's, you know, just hang on a little while. So anyway, in James chapter 4 says, "For whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not." Then he goes on, he says, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust." See, that's the difference between needs and wants. When you spend all your prayer life asking for all your wants. Now, you know, praying a burden such as a loved one who's not saved, I mean, all of us want to see our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, unsaved family members to come to know Jesus Christ. We want that, and because that's what God wants. And so that's not the point. The point is things that are not relevant to maintaining a strong spiritual walk and relationship with the Lord. You see, we live in a very materialistic world and are often influenced by it all around us. And sometimes it bleeds over into our prayer life. And as we see in verses 2 and 3, that there is a reason for our prayers are not answered. That is because we ask amiss. And we do it to consume it upon our lust. I had a guy supposedly quote unquote led him to the Lord, and they came back a couple of days later and said that he's no longer a Christian because if I prayed to God and I wanted a Cadillac and he didn't give it to me. And I tried to explain it to him, but you know, his mind was that obviously out in left field somewhere anyway. But the consequences being that we develop a negative attitude towards prayer because we don't get what we want within the time frame we want it, or that God doesn't jump when we ask him to jump. And so there is to be a genuine sincerity in our prayer life when it comes to praising God, and not one of flattery in order to move God to give us what we want or think we need. Now, our wives have learned to flatter us, men, right? When they want something, they want to go someplace, they want to do something there, they come and flatter us and say, oh, it would be so nice, and so on there. And of course, like most men, we give in and say, okay, we'll do this, we'll do that. But nonetheless, we try to do that with God. We kind of flatter him with the idea that we're going to spring something on him, and all of a sudden we're going to pull it over him, and he's going to say, well, I feel obligated. Listen, you know, God's not obligated to us under any circumstances for anything. He is not obligated. What he does out of a heart of grace and love. And so, God is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So even before you open your mouth, he knows what's in your head. He already knows whether you have a mischievous underlying modus operandi, if you will. He knows that. He sees all of that. And so, again, we learn that from Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, that God is the discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. In Psalm 116 verses 12 and 13, it appears that God is willing to give joy to a person because they were willing to pray a prayer of praise to the Lord for his benefits. Now, it's just a polite thing to do when someone gives you a gift is to thank them. Or to maybe write them a thank you note. Let them know how you appreciated their thinking of you. And so it is with the Lord. I mean, the Lord does things for us. And it's just a good thing to do is say, Lord, thank you for that answered prayer. Lord, thank you for leading in this particular direction. Lord, thank you for an engine that just seized up. Well, we're to pray, it would be instant in season, out of season to pray. Praise him, amen. And so we sing a song from time to time, count your blessings, and that's a good thing to do before you go to bed at nighttime, count your blessings. And you know, I think sometimes we get to heaven, we're going to realize that there's a lot of things because we became believers with praise, that we were spared a lot of things that we didn't even know about. Things that God prevented, or the angels that God provides for our safety, from accidents or foolish mistakes. And look back in my Air Force days, and there were some things as a young mechanic working on jet aircraft. You know, hey, listen, there were some times I'm looking back and I'm thinking, only by the grace of God did I walk away from that. And so you have to be thankful to the Lord and be aware of that. And so as a redeemer of the Lord, we have countless reasons to praise the Lord, even if he doesn't do anything good for us. If you're saved, praise God for it, amen? Because when all is said and done on this side the rapture, when you die, you're going to heaven. No matter how hard life may get, no matter how difficult life may get, when all is said and done, you're going to go to heaven. You're going to go there. So someone, give me a single word of praise to the Lord this morning. I thought of that when I was putting it together. I said, you know, just a one word praise that you wanted to praise God for today. Like I said, I praise him for my salvation. I'm glad I'm saved. Someone else, give me a quick word.
Guidance.
Praying for guidance.
My wife.
He's thinking for his wife. That's good. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. I told I was telling Jack this morning, he said, well, Chris is sick, she's not going to make it this morning. I said, how are we going to manage to get anything together? we can't function without you, Chris. You know, so we hit that point there. So, and someone else real quick, a single word praise. Praise God for.
Awesome.
Amen. For health. How about for an infallibly preserved word? Yeah. Man, that's more than one word, but boy, how can you speak of the word of God and not say it? Amen. All right, on end. So, you know, it feels good to tell the Lord thank you, Lord, and to give him praise, to give him glory along the way there. You know, I think I was sharing it some time ago, and my daughter mentioned that to a couple of kids that were in school there, and I said, listen, don't pray and ask God to give you a good grade and then not study. That's on the foolish part. But if you study and you get a good grade, then praise God for it. Amen. Thank you, Lord. But don't take the credit for it. Say, well, hey, I got. Listen, if you prayed about it, God helped you to get that. Praise the Lord for that. And so many things in our daily life on a regular basis. So when we praise the Lord, it reminds us just how blessed we are. Listen, if you're a little murmuring, complaining, mumbling, grumbling, dill-pickled, sour Christians walking around looking like the whole weight of the world's on your shoulders there, man, you're not impressing anybody. Amen? But you know, you are a blessed people. We are a blessed people of all the people on the face of this earth. You and I are blessed. And we can't be stingy with the blessings. We've got to pray for others to get saved. Amen? So, got the doldrums? You kind of woke up on the wrong side of the bed? Then quit your pity party and start praising God. Amen? Stop feeling sorry for yourself and stop blaming it on, I didn't get my coffee yet this morning. You can praise God without a cup of coffee in your hand. Amen? Well, hey, listen. Secondly, the blessing of spiritual strength. I'm getting ahead of myself again. Jude verse 20 says, but ye, beloved, build up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So when we pray, we can pray. Say, Lord, you know my weak areas. And Lord, I'm struggling with my thoughts. I'm struggling with my attitude. Whatever you're struggling with, you take it to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, I want to get the victory over this. And then you begin to work on getting the victory over that. And so that's where you find your spiritual strength. Acknowledging that you... Listen, don't go to the prayer, Lord, in the prayer closet and say, Lord, aren't you glad that I'm saved? Don't be like that Pharisee there or Sadducee that was on the steps of the temple looking down on the Pharisee, on the publican rather, that was down there and putting his thumbs in his suspenders and saying, what a great guy. God, you're so lucky to have me, aren't you? And there's a publican down there. He's on his face begging God for forgiveness. And the Lord said, whose prayer do you think was heard? Well, the publican was heard. And so we have to come with a humility and say, Lord, I've got these weaknesses and I've got these problems. And maybe with a person and maybe with any number of things there that you need to get strength and to handle it the way God would handle it. So earnest prayer is hard work and is well worth the time that we spend in prayer being guided by the Holy Spirit of God. So make sure that you're prayed up and you're read up and you're ready to go into a really serious time of prayer, allowing the Holy Spirit of God to guide you. So the ministry of the Holy Spirit is one of teaching, amen? Not only is it teaching, another ministry of the Holy Spirit is guiding and leading us into all truth, according to John chapter 16 and verse 13. It says, and howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So even when we can't find the words to express ourselves in a heavy burdens, we can still just sometimes be quiet. Begin with a praise to the Lord. But as we turn to Romans chapter 8, and I know a lot of people go to Romans chapter 8 for different reasons, but I think we miss a few things there as well. In Romans chapter 8, looking at verse 26, the scripture says, okay, said, likewise the Spirit also what? Helpeth our infirmities. That's our weaknesses. Whatever that weakness may be. As I said earlier, it could be an attitude problem. It could be something of the flesh that you're having a real tough difficult time dealing with along the way. But he says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Verse 27 says, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, that's a pretty powerful portion of Scripture. When you think about it, we come in there, and maybe you don't know what to say. Maybe just overwhelmed and overcome by the burden that is on your heart there, and you said, Lord, I didn't know what to say at this point. Then the best thing to do is you just stop. Think, meditate, and let the Holy Spirit of God do the speaking on your behalf. Because because he knows what God's purpose for your life is, and he knows what your spirit needs to know so that you can conform to that. So in verse 28, though, it says, loving God. All things work together for those who love God. Now, the single greatest evidence that we love God? Jesus himself stated it. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me. And so, if you love me, keep my commandments. It is also about your and my obedience. And so we find spiritual strength to live an obedient life in Christ. And then thirdly, we find relief from our burdens in prayer. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, as we said, that is basically the catalyst of our spiritual battle. Be sober. No, I'm going to end myself. That's 8. Right. Casting all your care upon him. Why? For he careth for you. He cares for you. Have you had a pity party? Nobody likes me. Nobody loves me. Oh, the world's against me. Have you had those kind of moments? God's not. And he matters more than anybody else. So the idea here is to place our cares upon Christ and not taking them back. Because so often we do that. We come to the altar and we say, Lord, I'm leaving it here. We get up and walk out the door and we drag it with us right out the door. What's the point? Well, if you're going to take it and leave it, as we sang the song, there's a song we sing here, Take It to the Lord and Leave It There. We'll see it in just a moment here. Do that. Because if you pick it back up and you walk out of here, that's your fault. It's not God's fault. And so there is no peace when we verbally give our cares over to the Lord and then take them back and try to second guess the Lord our God. There's no peace. Peace is when you bring it here and you leave it here. And you walk away saying, I've given it to the Lord. I'm not going to worry about it anymore. I'm not going to worry about it. You leave it to the Lord. So God loves us as he has demonstrated by the giving of his son for our sin. We live in a fallen world, yes, and troubles are sure to abound everywhere. And the Lord wants to comfort us. 2 Corinthians, let's turn to 2 Corinthians. We're not too far away from there. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Looking in verses 3 through 5, it said, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And so, in verse 5 is the word consolation. It's the Greek word parakletos, a variation of the word paraklete, parakletos, which are words that speak of the comforter, who is the Holy Ghost. He's the paraklete. When you got saved, God gave you a comforter in the form of the Holy Spirit of God. And the purpose of his leading us into all truth is that he can bring comfort and he can bring peace to the heart of the individual. And so in John 14, verses 16, and then again in John 16 and 7, is the word comforter, which is another variation, parakletos, meaning again, it's the Holy Spirit. And the hymn writer, Tinley, wrote, Leave it there. And he writes in his chorus, leave it there, take your burden to the Lord, and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take it to the Lord, and leave it there. Listen, if it bothers you, why do you want to pick it up and take it back? Are you concerned that God's not going to be able to do what God's able to do? I mean, God's bigger than any problem you and I'll ever have. He's greater than any set of circumstances that we'll ever deal with. So, I mean, it's not complicated if we can trust him for our salvation. And I'm sure if you were to raise your hand this morning and say, oh, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Why can't you trust him anywhere else? In any other aspect of our lives? No problem. Amen. So, you or I will have any problem you and I have. God's always bigger. God's always bigger. So, you know, you can always trust him. And so, want relief from your burdens? Take it to the Lord. Leave it there. Leave it there. We've had some folks in here who have had bouts with cancer. And I can tell you one thing. Each one has said that they had a peace that passes understanding while they were dealing with the cancer. Why? Because we gave it to the Lord and said, Lord, you knew this was coming. Surprise me. But Lord, you knew it was coming. So Lord, you have a reason, you have a purpose. And Lord, I'm excited to see what you're going to do. I'm excited to see how you're going to work through it all. And it's the same thing with others who have other handicaps right now. I know that some number of us in here are diabetics, type 2 diabetics, and has been wreaking some havoc in some of our bodies as well. But you know what? God knew all about this, and we have to do our part for sure, medically speaking. But at the same time, we have to trust that God allowed this to happen and brought this into our lives, because there's someone out there who needs to see that our faith never wavers under any circumstance. So if you want relief from your burdens, take it to the Lord in prayer. And number 4, we find spiritual alertness in prayer. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Folks, it's a simple fact of living in a fallen world that the redeemed has an enemy. Be sober. Be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He wants you. He wants to ruin your marriage. He wants to ruin your family. He wants to ruin ministries that hold true to the Word of God. So a very clever and crafty adversary who rules the day, the day that we got saved. He's hated the moment you came to a saving faith in Christ. Boy, does he hate you. He hates you more than you could possibly imagine. Peter, who knows from firsthand experience how quickly Satan moves to ruin our testimony, warns us that we are being stalked by a really nasty villain. Satan, he is not our friend. So we have to be sober. That means to be calm. Don't get all bent out of shape and beside yourself when it looks like maybe something has happened that you're not ready for. Just say, no, just remind yourself, say, Lord, you knew this was going to happen. You knew this was going to come about. And so, Lord, you guide me and you direct me in this whole process here, rather than falling all apart. So to be sober means be calm. It's also in the imperative. It's imperative that you be calm, because how many foolish decisions have you been made when you were all in a tizzy? I mean, when you were beside yourself, how many of you really made sound decisions? None of us that I can think of. I know I certainly haven't done that. Maybe you might be an exception. I don't know. But it also says to be vigilant. It means to be watchful. You know, it's also in the imperative. So we have to be calm. We have to be vigilant. And realize that, hey, listen, God's not doing this. God has allowed Satan to do that because God has a plan and God has a purpose for it in my life. And I want to be able to rise to the purpose and the plan. So we have to be sober. We have to be vigilant. Matthew 26 and verse 41, Jesus warned the disciples. They went into the garden to pray that night. Some of them hung out by the gate, and Peter, James, and John went a little bit further in into the garden. And they were exhausted from the day, and of course, they were sitting around, milling around. They were sleeping, and Christ went on further into the garden to pray. And he came back, and he says, Jesus warned his disciples in the garden to watch and pray. He said, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. See, prayer is an important part of being alert. Being in tune with God, being in tune with the responsibilities that we have as the children of God concerning God's grace. Prayer should be the believer's first line of defense, not their last resort after everything else we have tried fails. How many times you found yourself doing that? You figured this out and you figured that out. It didn't work out. And finally you come to the end of your rope there and you tie a knot and say, okay, God, I'm here. Help me get back up this rope. Well, we need to bathe our walk in prayer. Our marriages need to be bathed in prayer. Our children in prayer. And to bathe our church family in prayer along with our missionaries. See, prayer is a watchtower for all the body of Christ. In Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 11, the prophet of God wrote there, and he had prayed, and he prayed to God, and he had responded to God. And this is what he said in chapter 2 and verse 1. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he shall say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. What a thought when you think about it. Here he is. He said, I prayed to God, now I'm going to see what God's going to do. And not with a negative, I'll see if God's listening, or I'll see if God cares. No, it's an idea sitting back and saying, okay, I'm going to watch I'm going to watch what God's going to do. See, our testimonies should be what God has been doing in our lives and through our lives. How God's been using us. Maybe it might be someone's come along and said, I've been watching you for a lot of years now. And you know what? I'm ready to receive the Lord that you are so much in love with. So, and the Lord answered me and said. And so he prayed and he got the answer. That was in verse 3 of Habakkuk chapter 2. And so as we close, nothing clears the mind and heart like a great conversation with the Lord our God in prayer. It keeps us spiritually alert because it keeps us spiritually tuned to the one whom we can trust. Amen. Well, Father, we thank you for this time that we could be together, gathered around your throne of grace. And Lord, won't you guide and direct? Lord, we have a number of other things that prayer, a strong and a powerful prayer life will do for us. And Lord, that we can't put it off or put it off to a more convenient time. Lord, if we really want to get through our day and get through it unscathed from sin, Satan, and our flesh, then Lord, we have to have some time with prayer. And Lord, it sets the direction. It sets the mood. And Lord, it prepares us for whatever it is that you might have coming down the pike. Lord, because we don't know. We make our plans, and plan as we will. But Lord, you can change them at any moment, at any time, through any medium you choose and desire. But Lord, we need to be ready so that we can turn those times into times of testimony and see how you have worked and how you have prepared us. And Lord, that maybe sometimes that we put so much trust in our plans and our purposes that we forget about putting them in you. And Lord, we ought to get used to saying the phrase, the Lord willing, we will do. Or the Lord willing, we go here or there. So Lord, guide and direct this invitation time. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And I'd ask you today about your prayer life. The two most important parts of your Christian life is your Bible reading and your prayer. Because if you don't have an adequate prayer life and an adequate time in the Word of God, your Christian life is not going to go very well. You're not going to get out of it everything that God packs into it. I can guarantee you that. And so we need to come to that place in our lives where we say, Lord, I'm tired of trying to run my own life. And Lord, I'm going to come to your throne of grace. And I'm going to use this avenue of prayer to strengthen me and prepare me for the day. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Preacher, would you pray for me in closing today? Preacher, yes, pray for me today. I know that my prayer life can be more. It has more purpose. It can be more meaningful. It can be more efficacious as well. Those at home, you can make the same choice, same decisions at home as we can here in the sanctuary. And maybe this morning, same preacher, I don't even know if I got a home in heaven today. The prayer life of the righteous and the meditation time in the Word of God from the point of salvation is an absolute necessity. It's God's love letters to the redeemed. The message the unsaved will get from that this morning is simply, Christ died for my sins, and if I call upon His name, He will save me. If you have never asked Christ to save you this morning, at home or here in the sanctuary, you can say, Preacher, pray for me in closing the day. I'm not sure that I quite understand it, but I see some things I didn't see before. Preacher, would you pray for me today? Well, Lord, we're about ready to go into the communion service today. We pray that you'll guide and direct and meet all the needs of this particular hour in a way that will be honoring and pleasing to you. Lord, may we use this time to be reminded of things that maybe you've been working on us since the last communion time. That again, Lord, that we would enter into it with a right heart. And we pray now these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We have an open communion here this morning. The only thing that the Bible says, three things, that number one, we must be saved. You've got to be saved. You've got to know Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior. But the other two things in there is that we must have a right life. We must have a right walk. And the Bible very clearly says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, is Brother Steve and AJ, if you could come. And Jack, would you come and give me a hand this morning here? Beginning in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says in verse 28, But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, that would mean salvation and a backslidden Christian life. He said, drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. Use this time that to let the Lord speak to your heart. And if you're not willing to address those things that God has laid on your heart, then let the cup and let the bread pass you by, and no one's going to think any less this morning for doing the thing that's right. Best thing to do is get your heart right. Amen? Amen.
Lord, we thank you for the gift of salvation once again that you've given us, Lord, and for allowing your body to be pierced and hung on the cross, Lord, so that we could have forgiveness of sins, Lord, and that you would help us to remember that, Lord, at this time, especially, Lord, in everyday life that we go through, Lord, that we're just supposed to call that and remember that, Lord. We thank you. We ask in your name. Amen.
After the same manner also, Jesus took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you shall the Lord's death till he come and destroy you." And we'll stand in the same way stands as we tie the lines in our hearts. And Jack will hold the word for us. And Ed, sign up for Easter breakfast. Be sure to do so.
Being in your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.